all stand in the presence of God. Hallelujah. I want to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to move in this place. Lord, there is something I sense you want to accomplish in this service today. There is an anointing that's going to come to these people, Lord. It's going to descend. Lord, something of the anointing for increase. Hallelujah. That no matter where they are in the faith, Lord, no matter what they're doing, whether they're business people or whether they're in a ministry or whether they are in the marketplace, whatever they're doing, that you would cause an increase to come in the name of Jesus. Father, right now, would you just raise your hands, everybody? Come on, throw your hands up. I want to decree an anointing for increase over your life. I'm convinced, ladies and gentlemen, there are only a few things in life that can only come by decree and declaration. You've got to speak it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So right now, with all your hands raised, Father, I pray and decree increase is coming to these people in the name of Jesus. Everything that God has multiplies. Hallelujah. Everything, amen. All healthy things grow in the kingdom. So in the name of Jesus, I speak and decree increase over your life. And everybody said, amen. Let's give God praise. I believe it with all my heart, my friends. You may be seated. We must have an unshakable conviction that God wants us to grow. I want to begin today by saying that the kingdom of God is an ever-increasing kingdom. It just keeps expanding. There are no limits. You cannot have any thought in you today that is anti-growth to discourage you, to sway you. You have to take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And don't you worry where you are right now, because where you are right now is not where you're going to finish. Hallelujah. That's why I can tell you with assurance that today is the smallest you will ever be. From victory to victory, we are moving forward. From this day forward, you're going to go higher and higher, from glory to glory and from strength to strength, because the kingdom of God is built on increase. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And boy, I tell you this church must touch the 100-fold anointing. Amen. We must touch the 100-fold anointing. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. It is impossible for the man that hangs on to the promises of God not to see increase. Hallelujah. From today onwards, it's no more ups and downs and ups and downs. It's ups and ups and ups. Glory to glory, strength to strength. You are going to leave here with every reason to rejoice and be glad. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give God one more time a big praise. You know, there's nothing that the devil has done in your life that God cannot reverse. Amen. The blessings of God will pursue you and overtake you. Boy, if you're an evangelist, every place that you go to that God assigns for you, you will see increase. If you're a pastor, if you're a healthy pastor, the church ought to grow. If you're a businessman, your business is supposed to grow. If you're a cell leader, your cell is supposed to grow. Amen? In Genesis 27, we see Isaac sowing in the time of famine, and he reaped a 100-fold increase. It didn't matter what the circumstances was. It didn't matter what the conditions was. You can be in an economic downturn, and God can give you a 100% increase. Amen. God can bless you a 100-fold. My friends, there's nothing impossible for God. Our God, the more you know God, the more you realize He's the God of abundance. Amen. And I believe with all my heart that God wants to increase every one of you in this room today. In October of 2006, I was in the car with my spiritual father, Brother Bailey. We were on the way to lunch, and he turned to me and he said to me these words, and I never forgot. He said to me, "Tuck, I have a word of the Lord for you. Do you want it now or do you want it after lunch?" Yeah, he's a very polite man. And I thought to myself, are you kidding me? I want it now. So I said, "Pastor Bailey, I want the word now." And he said to me, "The Lord is going to increase you and give you 3,000 people in this church." Now, at that time, we were about 1,000 people, just kind of like bumping the 1,000 mark. And within 4 years, we were 3,000 people. Before we hit the 3,000 mark, he said to me, he said, I have another word of the Lord for you. And I can tell you this, everything that my spiritual father have prophesied over my life, everything has come to pass. Not one word has fallen to the ground. And then he said to me, he said, remember the promise that God gave to you about 3,000? I said, yes, sir. He said, God has increased the number. He's upgraded. That's the word he used. Upgraded the number to 5,000. And of course, we crossed the 5,000 mark. And you know, God's blessed us today with abundance and increase. Hallelujah. Each time God gives me a number prophetically, I know it will come to pass. It will take some time. It will take by faith and patience. The Bible says that we inherit the promises of God. 2 days before our 30th anniversary last year, if you remember, we had it at the Singapore Expo. I had a dream. This is in the month of July. 2 days before our 30th anniversary, I have a dream. And in a dream, a woman was preaching on the pulpit and she was preaching from 2 Samuel chapter 2. So I got up from the dream and I turned my Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 2. And the whole chapter is about David at the age of 30. And he's anointed by the elders of the tribe of Judah. Now you got to remember, David was only 600 people running around with him from cave to cave, hiding from Saul. Now he's anointed king at the age of 30, the tribal warlord of Judah. Now he's got a whole tribe. No more 600 people. He's got a whole tribe. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, Cornerstone at 30 is where David was at 30. Study the anointing that David had. David was anointed twice. That was a priestly anointing. Something shifted. I tell you this, last year, something shifted in this place. And all of a sudden, there's this bold conviction that increase was coming. Hallelujah. And I tell you this anointing, by the way, is an anointing for enlargement. This is a fresh anointing that God wants to give you. Listen, if the anointing of God comes upon me, it's going to come upon you. Because the anointing flows downwards and it touches every part of the body. And right now where we are, Cornerstone, is where David was when he was 30. There is going to come a day, and I can tell you this, that one day we will come and cross that point when that the anointing that David had at 37 years of age will come upon this house. Hallelujah. And we will see national cities come into the kingdom by the authority of the word of God. Amen. Jack Hayford, one of the great pastors in the last generation, said that the goal must never be to grow a big church. The goal is always to grow big people. Amen. If you focus on growing big people, consequentially, you will have a big church. But now the focus is not on the numbers. The focus is on discipleship. Our goal here in Cornerstone is not to just to acquire people, but to accommodate the people God has already given to us. Amen. My job is Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28, to rebuke, to challenge, to teach the word of God faithfully, and to present every single one of you before the Lord perfect. Hallelujah. Now, how many of you think that that's a big goal to do? That's a huge goal for all of us. Listen, this is the goal that God wants, Cornerstone. He said, you know, he never said in the Bible, try to be perfect. What did he say? Be perfect. Hallelujah. He never said try to be holy. He said be holy. Amen. He never said try to pray. He said pray. Hallelujah. He never said try to fast. Whoa. Fast. Hallelujah. You know, when the Lord gives a word, his word is like a command. Hallelujah. Now listen, behind me in the screen is a picture of the golden delicious apple. This apple is one of the sweetest varieties of apples in the world. And it will surprise you, ladies and gentlemen, that in America alone, they produce 200 billion pounds of the golden delicious apple every year. And all of that comes from one tree in Clay County, West Virginia. Blue Ridge Mountain. In 1905, there was a farmer called Anderson Mullins who noticed these yellow apples on a tree. He tasted them. It was unlike anything that he ever tasted. And he realized that there was something special about this one tree. So he put fertilizer, he cultivated it, put a fence around it, he guarded the tree, and while other trees were not producing, this tree kept on producing top quality, golden, delicious apples. Now, in those days, it wasn't called the golden delicious, it was just yellow apples. He sent it to a nursery, and they realized, oh my goodness, this is an unusual apple. And it became, ladies and gentlemen, the standard for fruit industry. 200 billion pounds just in America from one single tree in Clay County, West Virginia. This is the principle of multiplication. This story illustrates the point that it will take a long time to get the correct strain of apple to be discovered. But once it is properly cultivated, it goes ballistic. Hallelujah. Here's the lesson. You don't mass produce anything that is flawed. You don't mass produce anything that has defects. If you do, those defects will amplify down the road. Car companies, electronic manufacturers, appliance makers, software developers, you name it. They have all found out this the hard way. All the defects are supposed to surface at R&D stage, not after you put the product on a shelf. Am I making sense to you? Amen. No matter what the product is, whether it's an automobile, whether it's a consumer product or whether it's an iPhone, whether it's a fruit, if something is flawed, you don't mass produce it. And nowhere is this principle truer than the kingdom. My spiritual father told me this story. He went to a man that I won't mention his name because you will all have heard of the man. It's a famous church. He went to this man when he was only few hundred people. He said, I have a word of the Lord for you, sir. He said, the church that you pastor will multiply. That's a sure word. It will be in the thousands and the tens of thousands. You will grow. That's a sure word. But whether you produce golden delicious apple or crap apples, that's up to you. Now, I've got a picture here of what a crap apple looks like. And these apples are not fit for eating, but you can make jam with them. You can make marmalade with them. But they're not good quality apples. And the word of the Lord to this pastor was, it's up to you. Do you want to be a golden delicious or do you want to be a crab apple? And I can tell you this was many, many years ago that I have seen in the last 15, 20 years after the word was given, the church has produced a lot of crab apple. Sorry. Crab apple. Why do you think God so painstakingly takes such a long time to prepare a man or a woman of God? You think about John the Baptist, all his life, for an 18-month deployment. That's it. That was his ministry, 18 months. You think of our Lord Jesus Christ, all his life was prepared for 3.5 years of ministry. But oh my goodness, look at how it's multiplied. Why do you think that he seeks to perfect his sons and daughters? Has to do with the principle of multiplication. Because God is not going to multiply immaturity. He's not going to multiply carnality. He's not going to multiply childish behavior. He's going to multiply maturity. He's going to multiply perfection. Once you have the kingdom DNA, once you have the perfect strain, once the engineering is right and perfect, then what you have is ready to be multiplied. You know, critical mass, ladies and gentlemen, in physics refers to the smallest amounts of fissionable material needed to create a self-sustaining nuclear reaction. I failed in my science, so I don't know what that means. All I know, if you have a right critical mass, you can ignite a nuclear explosion. Now, all through the Bible, we see that God always uses the remnant. That's the critical mass, the remnant, to stand in the gap for the blessings of the whole church and the whole people. It's the principle of the first fruits. Do you know the principle of the first fruits? At the start of the harvest, they take a few of the best fruits and they present it to God. If the fruit is accepted, the whole harvest is accepted. That's the principle of the first fruits. It's different from the principle of the tithe. The tithe is collected after the harvest is brought in, but the first fruits is that when you the harvest is first brought in, you get the best fruits and you present it to God. And this is a principle of the first fruits. If the first fruits are good, the whole church is good. Well, you know what's the number of remnant? There is no magic number here. I believe that's no one size fits all because every purposes of God is different. In Gideon's battle, God was looking for how many people? 300, right? Abraham had how many soldiers?
318 trained soldiers, and they defeated four kings. It's not the, listen, my friends, it's not, they say in a dog fight, it's not the size of the dog, it's the size of the fight in the dog. I have seen small dogs beat big dogs, hallelujah. So it's not the size of the dog, my friends. I've always had dogs in my family. At one time, I had four Alsatians, two male, two female, and they were like boyfriend, girlfriend. And we kept them apart because when we didn't, the dogs, all four, would fight. Oh, my goodness. You can't separate Alsatians when they fight. And then we had all kinds of different dogs. I had a beautiful golden retriever. My family wanted a golden retriever. Three wanted a husky. So my wife had a double vote in the family. So we got a golden retriever, but we named him as Husky. Seriously, that was the compromise. And when we sent the dog to the vet said, "What is the problem?" We said, "We think he's got multiple personalities. He thinks he's a husky." Jesus had 12 disciples. God reserved 7,000 in Israel who had not bowed to Baal. At the birth of the early church, all that God needed was 120. 120 was the critical mass sufficient to turn the world upside down. Jonathan and his armor bearer took down a whole Philistine garrison. I can go on and on and on, but you get the point. I'm telling you this, my friends, it's the size of the church. It's not the size of the church that determines the outcome. It's the quality of the remnant in the church. Because some church can be tens of thousands of people, but they don't have the fire. They don't have the passion. There's no maturity. God cannot multiply. And sometimes I'll just reserve my comments about these things. Because I've seen small churches win great battles. And I've seen big churches lose small battles. Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock." That's the remnant. "For it's your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom." My point is, don't despise the day of small things. Right? 300 won against 100,000. One sheep gets more attention than 99. One widow's penny was worth more than all the offerings combined. Grace makes for terrible math. I heard one time a man says, "I bind the spirit of division." And somebody yelled, "Yo, bind the spirit of math also." Hallelujah. In 1978, Singapore had the evangelist Dr. Billy Graham. He preached five nights in the National Stadium. I was there in the meetings. At the end of five nights, there were 337,000 people that came to hear Mr. Graham preach. That was more than 10% of our population. At that time, Singapore was just 3 million people. We were 13 years away just from our nationhood. We were a young, nascent nation. The world was in chaos. The Iranians had the oil embargo. They're still doing it today. And the whole world was in depression. And we had this amazing meeting at the National Stadium. And about 4%, the population in Singapore, 4% became Christians as a result of this crusade. Amazing. Billy Graham prophesied that Singapore would be one day an Antioch for Asia. The leaders in this country accepted the word we received. It's important that the word is given, and it's important for the word to be received. They received the word, and what happened was phenomenal. All of a sudden, we had mega churches in this country. Never had it before. Now we have churches 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 people. Amazing. Then all of a sudden, we had churches. Every church was growing. Every church was being blessed. Mission organizations all started moving their headquarters to Singapore. The charismatic movement was in full force. God was moving. And I tell you this, Singapore was in the cusp of a great move of the Holy Spirit. 1978. For a few years, it happened and it continued to happen like this until the year 2003. What happened in 2003? There was a lady in the south of France. Her name was Anne Elmer, and this is the book she wrote, Transported by the Lion of Judah. And if you don't have this book, I want to encourage you just to get it and read it. And she said in this room in the south of France, the Lord would come and visit her with visions, and he would come in a form of a lion, and the Lord would say, get on the back of the lion, and the lion would take her to different parts of the world, hence the title, Transported by the Lion of Judah. And she would see visions of how the Lord would interact with the churches. And she said there were two occasions that the lion roared. The first was in a city in Pakistan, in a small church. And obviously there was a roar of approval. The Lord was very pleased with what was happening in the small church in Pakistan. No name was mentioned. And then she said the second place that the lion roared, but this time it was a ferocious roar. It was a roar in Singapore, the lion of the tribe of Judah. It was against a principality of a nation. And she said, when the lion roared, I saw people fall to the ground. And I'm telling you this, you track the trajectory of the church in Singapore from 2003. Something shifted in our country because a principality was pulled down by the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, listen, my point is that sometimes God can move in a massive crusade like Billy Graham, and you see amazing God's doing amazing things. Or just like in the days when Philip the evangelist was in the city of Samaria, and the Bible says the whole city rejoiced and there was great joy in the city. Now, sometimes that can happen. Sometimes he can give a word to a small little lady in a prayer who's been praying and shift something in the nation as well. The authority sometimes not just comes on a group of people. It sometimes comes upon individuals, and they carry this rod of authority that can sometimes shift the nations. We don't know who they are. They're nameless, faceless people. But I'm telling you this, God is raising up people of caliber such that when they start praying, we are going to see things shifting in this nation. Hallelujah. Now, I'm very cognizant that I'm a Singaporean. And you know, Singaporeans, you got to know what our superpower is. Because many times we are invited to the global table. When you sit with the global table, with the Americans and with the Europeans, you got to know what's your secret power. What is Singapore's secret power? Now just think about it. In a very blue moon, do we ever produce a world-class athlete? Is that correct? I can think of only two. That's it. Swimmers. Hardly has Singapore ever produced a world-class musician. I can think of only one. All these years, 60 years of independence, we don't produce world-class magicians, so I know one too. We don't hardly produce all these people. Listen, our rugby team, our brother here is the chaplain of the Springboks. This guy, he was the chaplain of Springboks, which is the most powerful rugby team right now. You know that Singapore has the reputation of the worst rugby score in the world. Singapore. Something 150-0, Pastor. That's amazing. Our football team is like, what's our football team like? Like 150 in the world ranking, right? Look, in the world ranking, that's not where our strength is. You know what our strength is? We're champion when it comes to making money. Hallelujah. Yeah? We are world champion. We've got world-class business. We've got world-class billionaires. We've got world-class millionaires in the city because that is our anointing. Singapore, very good making money. Very good. We bet. We are also very good in gambling, by the way. So that's not a good thing. We are phenomenal when it comes to math. Do you know that we're number one in the world in our scores? Math scores, science scores, English scores. We're number one. Come on. And God has given us the most powerful passport in the world. So you got top scores in math. You got top scores. You got the best passport. Singapore is a place where, listen, this is all because he wants us to go. This is the plan. Hallelujah. He's raised this country to be in Antioch, hallelujah. He's blessed us financially. He's all given us the most powerful passport in the world, not so that we can luxuriate in the sun and have nice exotic holidays that I know many of you post on social media. You need to know that God has given you that passport so that you can go on the courier's team. Yeah. Woo, hallelujah. Acts chapter 8, we find Philip. He's in a revival, full-blown revival. Oh my goodness, it was one of the most amazing revivals in the Bible. And all of a sudden, in the midst of this great revival, the whole city was impacted. The Lord says, get away from the revival. I've got something for you to do. Can you imagine this? If you're in the middle of this great move of God, and then the Holy Spirit says, it's time for you to leave the city. What do you mean, leave the city, Lord? I'm the man of the hour. I'm preaching and everybody's coming to you. The Lord says, leave the city. I've got a job for you. So he goes down this dusty road. Nobody's there. He's just alone, walking on this dusty road, thinking, what am I doing on this road? And suddenly a chariot pulls up and a whole entourage going back to Ethiopia was a eunuch, a high-ranking eunuch. And you know the story. He hears the gospel. He gets baptized. My goodness, that man brings the gospel back to Africa. And today, Ethiopia is still a Christian nation. Come on, all because Philip met one man on the road. Hallelujah. Far more fruit than from a crusade. So I'm telling you this. I'm going to show you the one in my last 5 minutes. A principle that Cornerstone must enter into, all right? Now, I'm going to show you something. This is from the Bible, and you need to hear my heart about this. Acts 6:1 says, now, in those days, when the number of disciples were multiplying. Everybody say multiplying. One more time, multiplying. Okay, Acts chapter 6, verse 7. When the word of God spread, the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great number of priests were obedient. Everybody say multiplied. One more time. So listen to me. This is really important. Acts chapter 2 to Acts chapter 5 chronicles the explosive growth of the early church. Converts were being added daily to the church. They were added daily. I want to stand here and say this. If every day this year, someone would come to Cornerstone and get saved, every day, 365 days a year, we would not even have scratched the surface. We baptize 300 people, 400 people every year, okay? But we're not even scratching the surface, man. We're just a church growing in numbers. That's great. We have, you know, we have a lot of people now in the church. We have three campuses. If you include the Bible House, we have a group big. Last week, they had 700 people there. Come on, I'm telling you, something's happening in that campus as well. God is doing something really awesome in this place. We're growing, and God is adding daily to this church. But we will never fulfill our destiny if all we know is addition. The church must move from addition to multiplication. Watch this, please. If you don't make this transition, you will be stuck in the addition mode. And I can tell you that's not the best for the kingdom of God. If you don't make this transition, we will still grow. Cornerstone will still be a large church. We will not finish the task of world evangelism. It's like upgrading to a new OS, right? When your phone, when your service provider sends you an upgrade in your operating system and your phone. I just upgraded, right? You know, but a lot of, can you think of the fact that there are people that won't do all these upgrades and they're still in the old OS when God has a new OS that's 100 times better? We've been given new wineskins, right? So Charles Spurgeon once said this, it's the whole job of the whole church to preach the whole gospel to the whole world. Oh, praise the Lord. Woo! The goal is not to have these big evangelistic meetings. The goal is to multiply disciples. And those disciples will multiply churches. Now, here's the bottom line. If you forget everything I say, listen to this, all right? Listen to this. Every disciple that we have here in Cornerstone is a potential church plan, a potential ministry, a potential congregation, and a potential organization. Every person, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, I can take Pastor Sabrina and put her anywhere in the world, and within 5 years, she will start a great church. She will multiply herself. And I want to see people in this church being sent out into the nations. You apply for the job, we will process you. We will put you through the grinder. We will put you through the training. You say, what's the training like? You go to Bible College of Wales. Hallelujah. We will do the training and we will send you out. But we need people who are disciples that are totally committed. Multiplication always trumps addition. The key, discipleship making. So let's stop focusing on numbers and let's start focusing on disciple making. I tell you, that's the key in this church. Amen. You got disciples, boy, we're going to explode. You're going to have cornerstone churches everywhere. I can pluck a couple and put them in Ang Mo Kio and we can have cornerstone Ang Mo Kio. Hallelujah. Amen. Cornerstone Tiong Bahru. Cornerstone Bedok. Hallelujah. How about that, Caleb? Where he lives? Pasir Ris, right? Cornerstone Pasir Ris. Come on. They say Pasir Ris is like the Paris of Singapore. Hence the name. I want to close with one scripture. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord, in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. What's happening here? They were not just multiplying discipleship. Now the churches were multiplying. Boom, boom, boom. All over the place. All over the place. The churches were multiplying. That's the key, my friends. We're in this for world evangelism. We're in this to see the gospel preached to every creature. It cannot be done unless we start multiplying. Amen? We have to stop this addition. You know, sometimes in a cell group, you got 3-4 new people. Oh, praise the Lord. That's so good. That's nothing. We can't win the world just with 3-4. We need to see ourselves multiplying over and over again. If you're an anointed cell group leader, you should be multiplying your cells. Hallelujah. Amen? Okay, let's all stand. Praise the Lord. I know that I can feel the resistance in the spirit, right? Some of you, the pastor, please don't ask me to multiply. You must multiply in Jesus' name. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm going to push you guys. I'm going to press you. I want to encourage you. You start multiplying. Oh my goodness, God is going to give you favor. God is going to bless you. He's going to increase you because you're flowing with what He is doing in the last days. Amen. If you are in addition mode, you are stuck in the first 3 chapters of the book of Acts. And God wants to move you forward. He wants His church is always ever increasing, ever growing. Amen. There are many pastors here from different nations today as well. I want to speak the anointing of increase over you. Hallelujah. I want to say to you, don't ever be satisfied where you are. Amen. There's always more in God. You can be 5,000 people. It doesn't matter. God wants to increase you. Hallelujah. Wherever you are, I'm telling you, God wants to increase you. And He wants to bless you. And He wants to give you right now the anointing for increase. I want you all to lift your hands to God. And I want to pray in the name of Jesus. Come on, church. We are not out to make our brand. We're not out to have our logo somewhere. We're not out to say, hey, cornerstone name here, cornerstone name. I could care less about that. I want to see the kingdom grow. Amen. But there is something that God has done here in this house that I believe can be multiplied in the nations. That's why we have CGN. We bring all the churches. We put the DNA. We put the seed in them so that when they go back into their countries, they can multiply themselves as well. And I'm seeing the multiplication happen in some of these nations. Now in Myanmar, our cornerstone churches are flourishing. In Thailand, hallelujah, God is doing such an amazing work through our churches. And in the Philippines, oh my goodness, we've got some of the large churches in the Philippines. And we're seeing God multiply from the first church from Myanmar in 20 over years ago when we first adopted our church, first church in Myanmar, Cornerstone Myanmar. Today we have churches in 200 churches in something like 36 nations. God is enlarging the tribe, my friends. God is enlarging the tribe. But we need to multiply. Amen. Lift up your hands, everybody. Come on, throw them up. And we're going to pray right now in the name of Jesus. If you're a businessman, God wants to multiply you. Come on. If you're a cell leader, God wants to multiply you. If you're in the marketplace, whatever you're doing, God wants to take what you have as you give them to Him, and He wants to multiply. I'm going to ask Pastor Mario to come. Pastor Mario has an anointing. Just want to pray over the people right now.
Father, thank You that we know in these difficult times that we live in, Lord. Philippians 4 verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord. I say rejoice always. Father, I know that as we are family with this family, that when we want to multiplicate, we need to know that the peace of the Lord is not the absence of war. It's not the absence of all these things we focus on every day, but it's the presence of the Lord that will give you that peace that overrides everything. And therefore, Father, I come today, and I come in the name of the Lord, and I come on Him who's capturing us every day. The joy of the Lord will become our strength, and I pray a double portion of your blessing, your input, your spirit among them, so that the multiplication and the increase will come to a place where we know that you are the blessed one and you're looking after us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. I want Pastor George. George, would you come and speak a word over this congregation as well, please?
The Lord wants to encourage this congregation. There is a calling upon your lives because there is a calling upon this nation. And this calling is to be a role model, a reflection of the character of Christ on earth. I have seen more Christ-like Christians in Cornerstone than I have seen in any other place. You are all gathered together because there is a work, there is a fountain, and there is an open heaven that it's like there is a beam coming down from heaven and transforming you into Christ likeness. When I go away, if they ask me, what is the one thing that you want to say about Cornerstone? I will say humility and Christ likeness. And I pray that this will bring forth amazing kingdom fruit, as you already have gone to so many nations, as you already have established satellites of the kingdom of God in so many nations. But I do believe what Pastor Tuck said, there is a multiplication anointing, there is a growth anointing, there is an expansion anointing. And just like in the world, there is anointing to make money, in the church in Singapore and in Cornerstone, there is anointing to make disciples and grow the kingdom on earth. I bless you with that, and I claim some of it to bring it back with me to my own nation. Kori babara bashekere besaya lara makuta rababa bara bashekere ma hora babara bashekere la harababa sita ramakaria. And I see vision, new vision in the eyes of many people in this room. The Lord is giving you a new vision, a fresh vision, because you are coming to a crossroads and you will make new choices. You will be called to make new choices, and make those choices carefully, because those are the choices that will bring multiple expansion in multiple fronts. There will be one thing you will be afraid of. How can we manage all of it? The Lord says, trust me, you will manage it supernaturally because I am with you. And as I have brought you thus far, the multiplication, the expansion, and the anointing for increase will operate beyond your capacity, because I will provide that capacity for you, says the Lord.
And finally, I feel this is important, the prayers of pastors from different nations as they impart blessings to this house. I'm going to ask Pastor Ivan just to come to pray for us. Pastor Ivan, would you come from Kazakhstan? This man, God has blessed his ministry. It's a key ministry in the nation. So I'm going to ask him to speak these apostolic promises over this church.
Hello, Cornerstone. I have big needs. Please pray more for our region, for Central Asia, for Kazakhstan. Our region stays between China, Russia, Iran, and Afghanistan. And we still be most unreached region in the whole world. Our countries is former Soviet countries, and we need breakthrough, and we need mercy of God and anointing for growing. Most churches in our region very small, and we need breakthrough. Please, Pastor Young, pray for me. I want to receive this anointing. Would have Cornerstone.
I asked him to do some work. Yeah. He wants to give it back to me now.
Please.
Why don't we all stretch our hands to our brother? Father, I thank you for this wonderful pastor. Lord, Kazakhstan needs a revival, Lord. They are, Lord, I see, I've been there, Lord, but I see the excellence of this church, Lord. I've seen the wonderful people that are in this church. I see my brother, Lord, so desirous to see Central Asia, Uzbekistan, all the other stands, Lord, come to know Jesus. So I pray, oh God, for my brother, that you would cause the anointing of enlargement to come upon him. Lord, that Lord, I know that there are issues in the country that we cannot speak about, but I pray that you would bless him and that you will increase him in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Receive the anointing for multiplication. Amen. And everybody said, amen.
Very easy to remember our countries: Azerbaijan, Turkmenistan, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan. Every stand for Jesus stand.
Come on, hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, I want to just bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, let the favor of the Lord rest upon this house. Let the anointing of multiplication rest upon this house. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and grant you his peace. And so may God put his name upon you forevermore. And everybody said, amen. Let's give God a big praise.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.